All right, something for everybody there, wasn't there? From Ben to Papa's. Puppies, I should say. I shouldn't. Amen. You know, the guy was rocking the shirt, plaid shirt, John, looked suspiciously a whole lot like yours that you have on this. Well, glory. The Lord is good. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We will be praying for our teenagers at youth camp. Glory to God. And we are excited. I was telling some of them this morning, I said, I did youth camps, and then I went to youth camps, and then I was a guest speaker at youth camps, and then I went and just said, give me a room, because I just like being at youth camp. And then you get to a certain age where you just can't push that any longer, you know. But youth camps are great and wonderful. And in Moscow, Tennessee, I looked up Moscow, Tennessee, and I am going to be on the Natchez Trace next week and get within about 50 miles of you. But you won't see me because you're doing your own thing. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see you this morning. Again, happy Father's Day. Glory to God. Renita's doing well. Amen. She's, I think she's about 4 weeks out now and been going through therapy. She's back home and doing better. You know, I tell people all the time, I said, you know, if you hurt your wrist or hurt your arm or whatever, even if you had to, you know, wear a cast or get therapy on it, you'd have it and you could walk around like this. But Renita can't do that because she broke her leg and it was near her hip. So she, you know, she doesn't have a cast. She's not on crutches. So she can't, you know, she's basically bedfast or in a wheelchair. So, you know, she just can't, even now she can only put 25% weight on that foot. So long story short, Tony likes to eat. So if you want to take the Jenkins a meal, just call them. Renita has a certain diet. I mean, that'd be a blessing to them. I mean, you know, we it's easy for me. You know, I took Tony out to lunch, and we took Renita some food home. But he was telling me Ben and Tammy took them food. Glory to God. And he said it was wonderful. And I think Linda Ray took them some food. And I think Gary and Kay took them a what was that they took you?
Blueberry cheese.
Holy Toledo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. That'll make you kick the back out of your choir room there. So if you want to be a blessing to them or get a chance to do that, and you can, amen, then do that. That'd be a blessing to them. Praise God. And we believe that Renita is going to get better and better and better. It's going to be better. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, this morning we're going to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 2.
Yeah.
Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I have something this morning about in my heart about honor. You know, who you honor, what you honor. You know, you submit to who you honor. If you don't honor them, you probably won't submit to them. You pay attention to and listen to and heed and those that you honor. And I'll tell you something else very important. You receive from those that you honor. If you don't honor somebody, then you probably won't receive from them. And of course, there's people that God has put in our lives that we should honor. And sometimes people don't do that. But in 1 Samuel chapter 2, what we're about to read here in verse number 30, what we're about to read here is God talking to the high priest Eli. Now, if you remember the story about Eli, Eli's sons are doing a lot of things that dishonor God. They're in essence stealing, you know, the people bring in the offerings and they take the very best for themselves, and they're actually committing adultery with the women that come to the altar, and Eli, the father, didn't correct them. So God's dealing with him because he and his sons have greatly dishonored him. And it says in verse number 30, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, you know what is interesting? Last week we read, or I think it was last Sunday, we read where a prophetess came and actually told Josiah that he would die peacefully, in essence, at an old age, but he didn't. Because the conditions changed, and that changed things. And here God is saying, you know, I told you that this was going to happen, but things, sometimes prophecies are conditional upon what we do or don't do. We need to realize that. So I just find that interesting. He said, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever, but now says the Lord, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. God says, for those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Somebody says, well, man, I got that licked. I don't despise God. Well, hold on there, catfish. The word despise there does not mean to hate or detest or loathe. You know, if we hear the word, if somebody says, I despise turnip greens, I love them myself. But if somebody says, I despise, that means they loathe them, they hate them, they detest them. But that's not what the word despise here means. And it's very interesting. Actually, throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament Hebrew and New Testament Greek, the word despise almost always means what I'm about to tell you. It doesn't mean to hate. It doesn't mean to loathe. It means to just treat with disrespect or to just lightly esteem something, to take it for granted, to not give it the reverence and respect that it deserves. Amen. It means to devalue something, to not appreciate something the way that you ought to appreciate it. That's what it means. You know, Jesus says, let the little children come to me and despise them not. He wasn't saying don't hate their guts. Nobody hates their guts. He was just saying, don't treat them like they don't have any value. Don't lightly esteem them. Don't treat them as being unimportant. And that's what God is saying here. Those that lightly esteem me, they're not honoring me. If you lightly esteem God, if you just take He and Him and His Word and His church and His things for granted, and you just treat with disrespect and you don't listen to Him the way you should and so forth, then He says, then you will be dishonored or you will be lightly esteemed. Amen. Glory to God. So I don't know of any Christians who despise God in the sense that they hate them, but there are Christians that are guilty of not honoring Him in the biblical sense. That is, that they don't esteem Him and His things and His church and His kingdom and His work and give Him the time and attention that's due Him and the honor that's due Him. Do you understand? Say amen. Amen. But God says, if you don't honor me in my things, then I will not honor or have respect for you and your things. Well, do you want God to honor you and your things? Amen. In other words, if you lightly esteem and neglect and treat as common and take for granted God and His work and His church, then He will lightly esteem and pay attention to our things or pay little attention to our things. For instance, you know, Proverbs 3:9 says to honor God with your substance. Honor God with your substance. That means your finances. That means your things, you know, your increase. Honor me with your finances. Amen. And He says, then I will honor you. But if you don't honor me with your finances, then I'll not honor you with my finances. Amen. Praise God. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. So because, first of all, it's the right thing to do, and secondly, because it benefits us, we should always honor God. Hallelujah. If we dishonor Him, again, that is, if we treat as no big deal, if we treat as unworthy of much of our time and energy, if we take for granted, if we undervalue, if we show little reverence and respect for His Word, His kingdom, His church, His principles, His anointings. You know, you can be around the greatest anointing in the world, but it won't do you a bit of good if you don't honor it. You won't receive if it's the teaching anointing. You won't receive if it's the miracle healing power of God anointing. You won't receive from it if you don't respect it, if you don't honor it from His ministers. Amen. And if we dishonor Him in that way, then He will show little regard for us and our things. Somebody says, well, how does that fit in with the grace message? That's the wrong question. The grace message is just part of the Bible. The question is, how does the grace message fit in to the rest of the Bible? Yeah. Glory to God. And of course, the true grace, right, this fits perfectly with the rest of the Bible, with the true grace message, because Romans 6:1 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, if we dishonor God and we lightly esteem God and take the things of God for granted and don't lightly esteem His church and His work, then you see, we'd be sinning. Verse 2, you know, Paul said, certainly not, certainly not. And then Titus 2:11 and 12 says, the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So it fits in perfectly with the grace message. And then, of course, the Bible teaches that we reap what we sow. That applies to all areas of life. If we sow honor, we will reap honor. If we sow kindness, we reap honor. Kindness. If we sow love, we reap love. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Now, let's look at Proverbs. We mentioned this a while ago because I want to make a point to you. Proverbs 3:9. We mentioned that scripture. Proverbs 3:9. Verses 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, verse number 9. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now I want you to see a principle about honor here that applies to every area, not just finances, okay? That's why I went to this scripture. I want you to see a principle about honor that applies to all areas, not just finances. However, comma, this scripture is specifically talking about honoring the Lord with our finances. But there is an overall principle here. So honor the Lord, this says, with your possessions. That means your substance, your money, your income. If we do, then we'll experience plenty. You'll experience overflow. Glory to God. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is one who scatters. One translation says, there is one who generously gives. That's what it's talking about. There is one who scatters, one who gives generously, yet they increase. Other translations say, the one who generously gives, the one who scatters, they increase, they prosper, they grow rich, they gain more. Then it goes on to say, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. That's Proverbs 11:24. Is that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But it leads to poverty. Verse 25 goes on to say, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters, he who gives, will be also be watered himself. The Amplified translates verse 25 as this, and he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity he has sown. Of course, this principle is taught by Jesus, you know, give and it shall be given unto you. It's taught by Paul, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And this principle is taught throughout the scriptures. Now, here's something I found very interesting. I got this from Reverend Charles Cowan, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, not long ago. And he's talking about sowing and reaping. Of course, this applies to all areas, including finances, but it applies to all areas. Listen to what he says. He says, there are seasons we go through in our walk of faith and our relationship with God. Each season is characterized by different circumstances and situations. There is a season of planting the seed of God's Word. You know, you plant the seed of God's Word in your heart. You know, seed doesn't grow up overnight, does it? I mean, you ever taken one dose of medicine to do you any good? No, usually you have to take it 3 times a day for the next 10 days, you know. The Word of God is likened to a seed. There is a season of planting the seed of God's Word, a season of watering the seed we planted, a season of waiting for the fruit that we planted, you know, seed. Andrew Womack always says seed, time, and harvest. There's seed and then there's harvest, but there's time between the time you planted and the time you reap the harvest in all areas. Amen. A season of waiting for the fruit that we planted. Then there is a season of harvesting the fruit of the seed we planted. Listen, we should not fail to do what is necessary in whichever season that we may be in. Don't become weary and relax your faith in the season of waiting. God is faithful. The harvest will manifest. The harvest will be the reward of the righteous. Keep sowing the seed of God's Word in every season. The day will come. Here's what he said I want you to see. The day will come that another harvest will be on the heels of the present harvest. The day will come that another harvest will be on the heels of the present harvest. Glory to God. And that applies in all areas concerning all seeds. You know, love, kindness, healing, whatever. But it includes financial seeds. And what he's saying is, you know, there'll come a time if you continuously sow the seed, if you continuously sow, for instance, financial seed, that you'll get a harvest. But right on the heels of that harvest, you'll be getting another harvest. And on the heels of that harvest, you'll be getting another harvest. And on the heels of that harvest, you'll be getting another harvest. Because you gave and gave and gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. Brother Hagin said in all his years of ministry, you know, so close to 70 years of ministry, he said, when it comes to the faith life, he said, people miss it more in the arena of finances than any other area. And he said, the main reason is because they try to reap where they have not sown. You cannot reap if you have not first sown. But I like this. He said, sow, and then you'll eventually get to the place where you're reaping harvest after harvest. And this is what I thought about when I read that. 43 years. Say 43. Well, that's a long time, isn't it? I mean, that's a half a century almost. For 43 years, over 43 years ago, Margaret and I began tithing and giving. Not just tithing, but giving. You know, giving the tithe is the first 10%. Giving is above the 10%. And our giving has increased over the years. It increased over the years. And we continuously sow financial seeds. And watch this. I'm bragging on God now. And this works for anybody. For over 43 years, We never go too long without receiving some kind of financial harvest. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about beyond the normal, beyond my paycheck. Now, my paycheck is part of God's blessing me. I understand that, and I'll say some things about that in a minute. But in other words, I don't, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe 5 or 6 weeks, for 43 years. I don't know, maybe in that 43 years, there might have been a time where it was 8 weeks or 9 weeks or 13. But basically, on a regular, continuous basis, some kind of financial blessing has come to our life every week, every other week, every third week. Here, then 4 weeks later, here, then 2 weeks later, here, then 1 week later, here, then 6 weeks later, here, then 1 week, for 43 years. Harvest after harvest after harvest after harvest. But we plant seed after seed after seed after seed after seed. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting for me. And it works for anybody. And of course, our paycheck is part of that. And God has, you know, in the beginning days of the church, you know, we control that. So it was very low because we wanted to put everything back into the church. As time went on, some of the elders got involved and they said, no, we got to pay you more. And we said, I can't afford it. And they said, yes, you can. And we did. And lo and behold, we could afford it. And the church would even bless more. Glory to God. But beyond anything we would normally receive, out of the blue, some kind of blessing in some form or fashion. Now you say, well, it doesn't work that way for everybody. Well, the Bible works the same for everybody. You may not receive it like I did. It may come exclusively through your job. That's okay. Because what I'm saying is this has happened regularly and frequently for us. And don't misunderstand me. Just through your job that pays well can be the blessing of God. So you don't want to be like the guy that said, well, nobody ever woke up to me and give me some money. No, but he was a contractor, and he was continually telling me how he got this fantastic job where he made $20,000. You don't have to get those jobs, you know. You can be looking for work and not have any. You can have a job where you only make $5,000. And you understand, in his particular situation, what he was telling me was, no, I worked for 12 weeks on this particular project. I paid myself a good salary every week. And even though at the end of the 12 weeks, I still cleared $20,000. Now, honey, if you don't recognize that as the blessing of God, then, you know, that's the way God was blessing him. And he had that happen to him over and over and over again in life. So God blesses people through their job that pays well, through raises, through bonuses, through promotions, through commissions and sales. I mean, one guy can not get any extra money off his sales, and the person standing right beside him can make a lot of money through sales. Through increased business, if you're a businessman, through good contracts or jobs, glory to God, through good opportunities, good deals. Our job is to believe and do what God said, to obey God and give tithes and give offerings. It's his job to bring in the harvest. Amen. You know, I like it over there in the Gospels where he says, "And the farmer sows his seed, and he just rests, and the seed grows. He knows not how." Well, I don't know how it happens. I just know that God has wonderfully blessed us, and we have received harvest after harvest after harvest. Can you say amen? Amen. And if you tithe and give regularly and consistently, as Brother Charles said, the day will come that another harvest will be at the heels or on the heels of the present harvest. But notice this. This is what I want you to see about honor this morning. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. As you study out the word first fruits, you'll find out in the Old Testament that it simply means your first and your best. Your first part, the first part, and your best. Here's the principle. We should give God our best, and we should give God our first. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? If we truly honor God, we give Him our first and our best. We give Him, we give His Word, we give His church, we give His kingdom our first and our best. One man described honor this way. He said, honor is a decision to place high value, high importance, and high worth upon another by viewing them as a priceless gift and then granting them a place of importance and respect in our lives. To honor means to see something as valuable and precious. It means to not take it for granted. And we all have to guard against that, you know. I mean, Jesus himself said a prophet is not without honor, except in his own hometown. So we're called to honor one another. Amen. And to submit to one another and to love one another. You know, we take air for granted, but if you try to draw it in and it's not there, I promise you won't take it for granted. Amen. So we are to To honor means to see something as valuable, to see it as precious. It means you esteem it. It means you respect it. It means you appreciate it. It means and really my main point I think this morning is you receive from what you honor. You submit to those that you honor. You listen to those that you honor. Amen. See, if we don't honor God and honor His Word and honor some ministry or some minister or church, then we will not receive from them. Again, whatever we honor and respect and appreciate and value, we will receive from. Glory to God. And many times, people don't honor what they should honor. I said many times people don't honor what they should honor. We should honor God above all things. Above all things. We should put His Word above every other word. We should honor His church and His work and His kingdom and put those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that includes His church. If we put other things ahead of God, ahead of His Word, ahead of His church, then we're not honoring God as we should. You know, the Bible says this. Well, I just think. Well, that's dishonoring. Well, I just believe. Well, I got to do other stuff. No, then that's not honoring to God. So you don't have to totally disrespect God or to show contempt for God or to dishonor Him. Most people don't just openly disrespect God and His Word and His church. But if we just underappreciate the things of God and His kingdom and His work, or take them for granted, or treat God and the things of God as just being common and ordinary, then we're not showing honor. We have too many people around today. I don't know, you know, a guy the other day was saying he was golf slidden. You know, like we say somebody's backslidden. What he meant was he didn't ever play golf anymore. He used to play it. He loved it, and he played it all the time. But his friend told him, he said, "You're golf slidden." He said, "Yeah, I hadn't played in." He said, "I just don't play anymore." You know, sometimes if you've done something for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, you can just kind of get bored with it, or think you know it all, think you don't need it anymore. Well, that's okay when it comes to golf. That's okay when it comes to camping. That's okay when it comes to skiing. But you should never get bored with God. If we're bored with God and the things of God and bored with His church, then there's something wrong on our end. Amen. We allowed that to happen. We didn't keep ourselves stirred up. We didn't obey the Bible. We didn't honor God as we should have. And so I think sometimes people grow up in church, you know. I was just listening to the testimony of Nikki Cruz, you know, crossing the switchblade, Nikki Cruz, and Nikki was going to die. Apart from Jesus, apart from accepting, he was dead. He was going to be killed on the streets by a rival gang. He was going to overdose on drugs, or he was going to the electric chair. He knew that. It's an absolute fact. It was true. The electric chair was a real thing in his day, and he was in the worst of the worst gangs in New York City. He had been their president. He had been their vice president. He had been their warlord. And even criminal people said you're going to die in the electric chair, Nikki. People like that, I tell you, still in his 80s, and he just loves Jesus with all his heart. He loves the Word with all his heart. He loves God with all his heart. He's involved with the work of the ministry and involved in church with all his heart because he knows how much Jesus did for him. Hallelujah. But even if we grew up in a wonderful home with wonderful parents, we were all sinners, lost and dying and going to hell, and Jesus has done a lot for all of us. But you know, I think sometimes people grow up in church and then when they get 25, 35, they just kind of get bored with it. Or maybe they got saved when they were 20. Now they've been, I've been doing this thing. You know, I'm 48 now. I've been doing this since I was 20. I mean, that's a long time. I used to ride a motorcycle. I don't do that anymore. Well, that's okay, but you shouldn't do that with God. You shouldn't dishonor God and lightly esteem God and disregard God. And you know, you meet people all the time that they just feel like nobody can really teach me anything. That is the height of deception and pride and arrogance and ignorance. The greatest Bible teachers and anointed men and women of God on the face of the earth have always said, I don't know everything. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. Amen. Praise God. You're right there in Proverbs 3. Look at Proverbs 4:20. What you honor, you will give attention to. We honor God by putting Him and His Word and His kingdom and His work and His church first. But what we honor, we will give attention to. Proverbs 4:20, my son, I love this passage. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Hey, as you break this down, you're saying, listen, focus your attention on my word. Put my word first. Put it above all. The implication is very strong. Put it above all other words. Lean down and listen carefully. Listen intentively. Listen passionately. Listen to what I've got to say. Keep my word alive on the real, on the inside of you. Make it first in your life. Make what I say the most important thing. Listen to me. But it's amazing and puzzling to hear people say, well, I know the Bible says, but I just feel like. Well, I just think. Well, you know, Meemaw says. Give a rip what Meemaw says. I only give a rip what the Bible says. I love Meemaw, but I don't care what she says if it's not in line with the Word of God. I don't care what I say if it's not in line with the Word of God, so I'm not picking on Meemaw. Lord, you might as well smile. This is it. It ain't getting no better. This is the message, all right? So you're the... See, that's very dishonoring. That's lightly esteeming the Word of God. And he says if we'll do that, if we'll really give our attention and fix our focus on God and put His Word first and make it our final authority and pay careful attention to it. Verse 22 says, if you do that, they are life. Life. You'll have abundant life. You'll have life worth living. You'll really live. They are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Health to your flesh. You know, a lot of people talk about health and healing, but they're not talking about physical healing. This says there'll be health to all your flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Can you say amen? Amen. If we honor God, we will receive from Him. We'll listen carefully and attentionally to Him. Now turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We know this story here, but let's look at it from this light. Mark chapter 6, verse number 1. Again, who we honor and what we honor, we receive from. In Mark chapter 6, talking about the Lord of glory, the King of kings, Jesus Christ Himself, says that He went out from there and came to His own country, and His disciples followed Him. And when the Sabbath had come, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing Him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to Him, that such mighty works are performed by His hands? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at Him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could, not he would not, but he could not do any mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And the reason he could do no mighty work there, verse 6, he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages and the circuit teaching the Word of God. Amen. The people didn't honor Jesus, and so they didn't receive from Jesus. Think about that. Jesus came to this area, and people that had been sick and diseased for 2 years, 5 years, 20 years, incurable diseases, lifelong problems could have been set free and healed, but they weren't because they didn't honor Jesus. Amen. They just in this city saw Him as an ordinary man. They didn't show Him any respect. They lightly esteemed Him and His ministry and His work. And the Bible says they were offended to Him. Now watch this. Because this word offend and offended is used many times in the New Testament, and it doesn't mean what we think. It does mean at times to be offended is to be mad and angry and hurt at somebody. But the word offended here means, and it's used this way many times. On the night Jesus' disciples betrayed Him, Jesus said, and many of you will be offended because of Me. Well, they weren't angry and bitter at Jesus. They were offended in the sense of what I'm about to tell you. The word offended here means, listen to this, to begin to distrust. See, they didn't believe. To begin to distrust and desert, abandon, leave, forsake. Did they forsake Jesus on the night of His betrayal? Someone or something whom you ought to trust, obey, and stay with. So yeah, that night that they left, they were offended. They were offended in the sense that they went, oh, we thought He was the one. And they left Him and they abandoned Him and they were confused. And they began to have doubts and fears. To begin to distrust and to leave, to desert, someone or something whom you ought to trust and obey and stay with. In other words, you don't honor them like you should. God sent Jesus there. Jesus said, I'm doing what my Father tells me to do. I'm going where my Father tells me to go. And he sent him there, but the people rejected him. They didn't honor him, and they didn't receive their healing. A lot of people. Amen. Now I'll tell you something. When you get offended that way, when you begin to distrust and leave people that you ought to trust and obey and stay with, that can turn into anger and contentment for them. That's why you see people that they used to really honor somebody, used to really love somebody, and now you see them on the streets and they just act like they don't have any use for them whatsoever. And usually the person they have contempt for didn't change, is they are the ones that changed. Their attitude toward that person changed. Amen. A lot of people, I'm talking about Christian people, seem to be mad at God's church. I mean, they ridicule it. They slight it. They disapprove of it. I mean, Jesus, maybe, but the church, well, that's just a joke. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died for the church. He loves the church. He gave his life. I know that we are the church individually, but we are the church collectively. And then the church collectively is made up of individual local assemblies or fellowships or churches. Jesus loves his church. He's not ashamed of his church. He doesn't like some of the things his church does, but he loves the church. Glory to God. He's not ashamed of it. And so Jesus said a prophet is not without honor, and he could not do anything there. Why couldn't he do anything there? Because of their unbelief. But you see what led to their unbelief. They didn't honor him and they didn't receive him. They didn't listen to his words, and that led to unbelief, and therefore they couldn't do anything. Again, we don't receive from those that we don't have honor for. But we should have honor for those that God has put in our life. Let's keep reading. We usually stop reading right there, but let's read on. Verse number 7. And he called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them. Say, Jesus sent them. Say it like you mean it. Say, Jesus sent them. Two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Jesus sent them to go to, to be scattered, to go out preaching the gospel, to tell people the truth, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils. He sent them. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in the money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive nor hear you. In other words, those that won't honor you, those that lightly esteem you, those that pay you no mind, those that don't think you're very important, when you depart from there, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it was for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. That is, all those that received them because they honored them that were sent by Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Are you getting this? Are you understanding where I'm coming from? Amen. Jesus sent them out. Amen. Now, but some would not honor them. Some would not hear them. Some would not receive from them, and it cost them. Quickly, I want to look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Very similar here, Matthew 10, verses 40 and 42. Jesus said, he who receives you, those that he truly sent out. Now, I know we have people that he didn't send out. But he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Praise God. Thank God for the reward. But that's not my primary motive. I just honor God. Amen. And I honor His church. Amen. And I honor the man of God and the woman of God and the ministry that's ordained by God. And especially those that God has connected me to. And I don't have a right to connect myself to just wherever I want to be connected. God has placed us in the body as it has pleased Him. Amen. Whatever we're called to do in the body, that's what God wants us to do. We don't decide to be a this or a that in the body. We, God decides what we should be or do in the body. And then, of course, any way you look at that, that's going to boil down to local churches and local assemblies. That's the church that he died for, that he loves in an everyday reality. And we should belong to the church that he wants us to belong to, that he has connected us with. I belong to a particular group, you know, called the Word of Faith, because I'm not saying there's not other people in the world doing glorious and mighty and wonderful things for God. That's just where God put me. And I am not going to disesteem them. I'm not going to treat them lightly. I'm not going to take them for granted. I'm not going to get bored with them just because of my own inner problems or inner lack of commitment or inner whatever. I'm going to dance with the one that brought me, spiritually speaking, unless God moves me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to him, he shall by no means lose his reward. Amen. Remember, what we honor, we receive from. We receive when we honor people and ministries and churches that God has placed in our lives, then we receive from the anointing on that ministry or on that person. See, the anointing that's on a minister is not for them. It's for the people they're ministering to. Amen. Whether it's a healing anointing or a teaching anointing or whatever it is, it's not for them. It's for the people they're ministering to. We receive from the anointing that's on their lives. The anointing on them is not for them. It's for us. But we must receive it. Amen. But we won't receive it if we don't honor it. And we ought to be, and we ought to stay hooked up with His church and His kingdom and the particular places He wants us to be hooked up to. We ought to stay there. We ought to be under who God placed us under. We ought to listen to those that Jesus has, in essence, sent to be in our lives. Glory to God. And not just who we decided to be under. Because that's where Mama wants me. That's where Mama wants us. Or because that's where our children want us to be. Let me tell you something. Children, I don't, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 12-year-old, or 16-year-old, I don't mean they're evil, but they have agendas sometimes. Their agenda is not necessarily to do the perfect will of God and to be where God's perfect will for them is. Their agenda is they got this cute little girl over there, and that's where I want to go to church. Well, they believe, I don't know, but she's cute. What do I care? Amen. So we're not to just be where our daughter wants to be or where our son wants to be or where Mama wants us to be. Or we're not just supposed to be somewhere else because we're mad at them over there and in strife with them over there that God connected us to do. No, we ought to be exactly where God calls us to be. We ought to honor that. And when we do, we'll receive great and wonderful benefits from it. I'm going to close with this. I found this in some old notes. I wrote this down a long time ago. Sometimes we give up so much to gain so little. If we honor God, He will. And the idea here when I wrote this down was, listen, sometimes people, they dishonor God. When you disobey God, you dishonor God. When you treat the things of God lightly and disrespect them and just take them for granted, and that's when God tells you something, you go, well, I know, but I'll go over here and this will be better. You know, I'm not going to honor Him in my finances, for instance, because I'll hold on to these few little dollars. We give up so much to gain so little. I know, but I want to date that girl. I want to date that guy. And I don't even know if they're a Christian or not. Don't even matter to me. I'm just going to compromise what I believe so I can go do that. We give up so much to gain so little. We ignore what we know God is saying to us so that we might do our own thing, not be responsible, not serve, not work, whatever it is. Again, sometimes we give up so much to gain so little. We don't realize that if we'll honor God, that all kinds of avenues become open to us. All kinds of doors open for God to move on our behalf. When we honor Him and honor His Word and do the right thing, He will bless us. He will favor us. He will protect us. He will uphold us and honor us as we honor him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen. How many of you like receiving those harvests on every hand?
Amen.
How many of you like people showing you favor on every...
Amen.
Well, you can't go out and be mean and ugly to people and expect to receive favor. You know, that's... Oh, yeah, I'm blessed and highly favored. Not if you're mean to everybody, you won't be. You submit to those that you honor. Generally speaking, because, you know, the flesh, everybody's got the flesh. Say,
I have the flesh.
The flesh doesn't want to submit to anybody. The flesh is rebellious. I went, David Chem was coming the other day, and he said, man, we got a practically brand new, and if anybody needs this, please let us know. And it is practically brand new. David, it looked like to me it had been taken out of the box and set up, and then you took it apart. You know, it's a hospital bed, you know, a home hospital bed. It raises, the back raises, the bottom raises, you know. It needs a mattress. I looked it up online. The mattress, I think, costs about $300. And once you own the mattress with it, this would be worth somewhere between $900 and $1,600. You know, and it's basically brand new. So if anybody needs that or wants that, by the way, we have here at the church a practically in the box brand new wheelchair. If you know somebody that needs that, we'd be glad to make sure they get it. Praise God. I forgot what I was going to say now. Huh? Yeah, yeah, I said all that. It's live TV up here, you know. Forget my own daughter's name, sir. Yeah, your flesh didn't want to submit to anybody, you know. But you have to crucify the flesh, and you just automatically submit to those that you honor, you know. You know, husbands sometimes, oh, wife, you got to submit to me. Well, why don't you forget about that and just do your part?
Amen.
I'm not even talking to you. It says wives. Is that you? No, you back up and read your part. You're supposed to love her and cherish her and treat her. And see, if you'll do your part, then maybe you'll make yourself more attractive and more attractive to submit to. Glory to God. Amen. I keep circling the field thinking I'll come back to what I was going to say, but I hadn't. Glory to God. But we submit to those that we honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And if you need that bed or want that bed, you can have it. Close your eyes, lift your hands, and praise God a second. Praise Him, worship Him. Thank you, Father. 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 Glory. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Let your ears hear. Praise God. Praise God. Worship Him. Tell Him that you love Him. Tell Him that you honor Him. Tell Him that you take Him for granted. Repent if you need to and say, Lord, forgive me for taking you for granted. Forgive me for taking the you've done so much for me. I don't take you for granted. I do love you with all of my spirit, all of my soul, all of my being, all of my body. Praise God. I honor you. I honor your word. I give it first place in my life. Glory to God. I honor your kingdom and the things of God. I honor those true men and women of God that you have placed in my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. If you're saved and you know it, lift your hand and wave it around. Come on, if you don't wave your hand around, I'm going to think you're a sinner and go straight back to you. Aren't you glad God's a good God? How many teenagers do we have in the service that's going to youth camp? Why don't you come up here? If you're here and you're going to youth camp tomorrow, I know we have more than are here going. You know, and listen. You understand some things. It's like we have people that they very much honor this church. You know, we have a lot of contact with No, I mean, send us their tithes, you know, and sometimes we send them tapes and so forth. Yeah, yeah, Bob and Evelyn Brown. Well, they serve this church. They tithe this church. But you know, they're close to 90s and deal with it. And it's hard for them to get out sometimes. We understand that. So, you know, youth, sometimes people do other things. That's fine. But let's just, as a representative of those going to our youth camp, let's just stretch forth your hand. Father, we pray that every single need of every single one of these will be met while they're at youth camp in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for every speaker. We ask you to anoint them, to teach through them, preach through them, minister through them, touch through them. And we thank you that each life will be ministered to effectively by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Praise God. We thank you as always, they're protected, they're provided for, and they're blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you guys. Glory to God. That's all I had. I think we've got like 16 or 17 going all total, and they head out tomorrow. And matter of fact, Caleb's going to meet with the parents right here, give you some more information if you need it, or you do need it. Praise God. Glory to God. I have received so much. From Kenneth Hagin and from Kenneth Copeland over the years. But man, I honor them. I honor them. There's been people that sit right beside me, so to speak, that they haven't received a hundredth of what I've received from them, but they don't show them any honor. Now you have to decide for yourself whether or not you should honor somebody. But I'll tell you this, we should honor God. We should honor His Word. We should honor His church. We should honor the local church that He's placed us a part of. And we should honor the men and women of God that He's put in our lives to minister to us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God bless you. We love you so much. You're dismissed. Thank you. We love you. Praise God.